Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh. Alamak, kantoi belakang tak apa-apa, nak kemas sangat. Tak apalah. Selamat datang ke chat bersama follower episod seterusnya. Hari ini saya ada follower baru pula. Nama dia Sabrina. Jom kita masuk ke Sabrina. Sabrina, assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Apa khabar?
Good, good. Hari ni ambil cuti.
Alright. Ah, semata-mata untuk ni ya?
No lah. Just a mental health break kejap.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, once in a while you need it. Alright, so kerja apa?
I'm an executive dekat KL. About 1 year and a half dah kerja.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, so saya punya standard question bila buat chat bersama follower adalah berikan kepada saya tiga benda penting in your life.
Okay. I think the first one for me would be kindness. Kindness in the way you speak, in the way you treat people.
Interesting.
Second is effort. I truly believe in always developing myself, so I also need to put effort in myself. So sometimes Excellent. I do have a bit of expectations on other people to make effort for me and for what we have, like the relationship and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
the last one
would be knowledge, because I feel if you don't seek for knowledge, you cannot do your faith justice.
Interesting. So kindness, effort, and knowledge. Nice. Good three things. How long have you been a follower?
Actually, I followed you on Instagram about a year ago, but I subscribed your masterclass about 2 months.
Okay, good, good. So, Sabrina, is it okay if we continue in English? You don't have to, by the way. I'm just following your vibe. If you want to continue in Malay, no worries juga, okay?
Okay.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to talk about? By the way, okay, transparency sake, I don't know the question. This is all like spontaneous. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I would want to string the first topic to, I think a lot of people can relate to.
Right.
It's about parents support or your the surrounding people support to your course of getting married directly. So my defense to this was because I grew up not knowing the right way, because I think like a lot of people when grow up in a way like thinking the Western style of dating is the only thing they know lah. So let's say like they're not equipped with the knowledge of ta'aruf. So my question is like, in a world where haram relationships or Western way of dating is very much normalized, how do we gain parent support to approach marriage in the right way? Because one instance I had was someone in my family had like said that it might be hard for me to get married if I'm too strict in my ways and like stringent, like too religious, because I have to adapt to the current world.
I just need more context. Yeah. What are they proposing? Are they proposing that you should date the guy first? You should go out like, with the guy first? Yeah.
Like,
even like go out, like just the two of you?
Yeah, like do conventional.
And even your
dating.
Father is okay with this?
My dad don't have like that understanding of ta'aruf. It's like they aren't equipped
with
the knowledge.
That's not what I mean, Sabrina. He doesn't have to have understanding of ta'aruf. Just, you know, as a man who has a daughter, he's okay with letting you go out with another man who's not your husband. He's okay with that.
Yeah.
What do you mean by technically? Yeah. So that's not a full yes.
Yeah, because he has like I've gone on one date relationship before I knew what ta'aruf was, and he was okay with that. So I assume that that's the only way he thinks that I should get to know someone.
Yeah, so it's an assumption. So doing my part, a bit of husnuzan on your father, you know. I think a father is not comfortable with it. I'm just being honest. Maybe like you said, he has to succumb to the cultural norm of the day. So dia terpaksa kata, tak apalah, you pergilah keluar dengan lelaki tu, kawan-kawan dengan dia dulu. But deep down, I think inside, he's not comfortable with letting his daughter go out with another man macam tu sahaja. That's just me speaking kind of on behalf of your father. I don't know your father. I'm not your father. I'm just doing a little bit of a husnuzan on his part. So I guess that's something you should check. Is your father really okay with it? Because I think, you know, as a man, and I don't have a daughter, but I imagine if I do, I'll be very uncomfortable with that. Even though outside I'm like, no, macam mana budak zaman sekarang? But deep down, I don't like it. And let's start this conversation with labels dulu, right?
Okay.
So in your description and question, you mentioned two labels that I want to address. The first label, you mentioned the Western style of dating.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be clear. It's not Western. It's just plain un-Islamic. Let's call it that. Yeah. Okay. Because there are things in the Western culture that are Islamic, so we have to be fair. For example, in the Western culture, even to this day pun ada juga orang buat, just to let you know, there's still this idea of courtship with a chaperone. Do you know what it means?
Yeah, with
the idea of courtship, courting. It's not dating. Yeah. You can't dating keluar. Courtship means that, you know, you see, you go to the woman's father first, ask for permission, you know, to know his daughter, and then there's still that happening in the West. Now that's Western juga.
Yeah.
And if you look at it from that point of view, that's quite Islamic. I'm not like pro-Western ke apa ke, I'm just being adil with the fact that even in the Western culture, there are things that are Islamic that we can actually do. So let's not put like Western style itu as this big umbrella term that everything Western tu salah. I have been in the West for 4 years studying in Canada, and I can tell you, a lot of things tu macam, you know, tak kena lah dengan kita punya agama, right? But there are also many things about the West that are really in line with Islam. So it's not about West, East, North or South. It's about, is it Islamic or not? Tujuh. Let's just look at it from that lens. Is it Islamic or not? The second term that you use is the term ta'aruf, which I believe not everybody knows lah. Di setakat tahu, okay, tak kenal maka ta'aruf. Like, it's just a term that we use just to get to know each other. So I just want to dissolve the term and just talk about the concept. Because the term can be anything. You can use whatever word you prefer. Ta'aruf, ice-breaking, get to know each other. Even if you want to use the word dating pun tak apa, because I'm not concerned with the word you use. Okay? Because sometimes people dengar ta'aruf kan, wuih, bunyi Arabic ni.
Yeah.
Kan, Islamic sangat ni. No, it's not about the word. It's about what you do, the actions. Okay. Itu yang kita nak lihat-lihat sebenarnya. So, because I could say, I'm doing ta'aruf. Tapi duduk berdua-duaan dekat restoran. Pegang-pegang tangan. And you call that ta'aruf.
Yep.
So, the word does not matter. I want you to understand that. The word doesn't matter. What matters is what you do. Right? And now, tackling your question pula. What happens when your family member, particularly your parents, tak berapa nak sokong how you want to do things? First thing first, do you understand their background? Like, where they're coming from?
The history of my family is they've always had the girlfriend-boyfriend relationship before they get married, and very long term, because my parents pun, they were friends, like they were dating for 8 years before they got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's giving you a clue about what they believe to be the norm, because they too do it like that. Now, we're not saying that, oh, apa nama, ini mak bapak yang tak bagus ke apa. No, we're not saying that. Yeah. We're simply saying that you have to understand where people are coming from if you want to understand who they are today, right? The past has some relevance to the present, okay? However, it doesn't determine their future. Understand that? It doesn't determine their future, so we don't judge them. But we're trying to understand them, okay? Because you want to tackle your family, kan?
Yeah.
Regarding this issue. So you have to start there, understanding where they're coming from. If you are in a situation where you rasa macam, kenapa bapak aku tak faham? You don't understand him enough. kenapa mak aku macam ni? You don't understand her enough if you have that attitude. But if you are in a situation where, I get it. I know why my father's like that. No wonder my mother is like this. You don't agree with them,
yeah,
still, but you have that empathy. You understand? You have that empathy. You have that compassion. You have that aura of trying to be in their world rather than forcing them to be in yours. Because yeah, human beings ni, macam ni, dia punya sifat dia. If you want them to listen to you, you gotta listen to them first. This goes, cuts across all relationships. You can talk about it friendship-wise, marriage, parenting, with your parents, ke apa ke. If you want, let's say you have a child, you want your child to listen to you, you gotta listen to the child first. Understand the child, right? Same goes with your family. How much you understand and how deep you understand your family will determine how well you tackle them with regards to understanding how to get married the right way. And talking about the right way, I'm not claiming that my way is the ultimate way. I'm just saying my way is least, I'm reducing the risk and increasing the probability that you will find the right person in the right way. And the right way, nobody can claim that they have the ultimate right way, because Islam doesn't give us that one like path yang rigid to get married. Islam gave us guidelines, okay? As long as you follow the guidelines, you can be creative with how you want to get married. That's why culturally across the world, if you look at Muslims, the way we get married can differ culture to culture, but they can still be Islamic as long as they follow the guidelines. What are some of the guidelines? For example, when you meet with a strange man, right? We call them ajnabi, meaning that this man is not your brother, not your father, no blood relationship. So you can't touch the person, you can't be alone with the person. So we have to care for the interaction to macam mana, right? This is the same law, rule that apply you with your male friends, you with your male colleagues. It doesn't mean that you separate yourself from them altogether. That's not realistic. You can't isolate yourself from men. It means that when you interact with them, you have that level of self-respect and self-control when you interact with them, and they do the same. That's basic stuff. Okay, I'm not talking about any advanced things. And you have to get them on board with that first. That, you know, if I'm going to get married to a man who at first is a total stranger, I'm going to have to make sure that I have self-respect and self-control and honor the boundaries that Allah has set forth for me. Because, you know, I believe Islam is there to protect me. Right? If they can't see that, right? And this is a universal principle that can be applied across culture and across time frame. It doesn't mean that macam, itu dulu, sekarang lain. No. The principle stays the same. What differs is the technology and the culture. Itu je. But principles stay the same. Like right now, we have this conversation over the internet. It's not there in the Prophet's time. But we are following the same principle. Like, I'm not like flirting with you. I'm honoring you. I'm respecting your boundaries. Kan? So we're using today's technology, modern times, but the same principle yang Islam ajar 15,000 years ago. 1500 years ago. Do you understand that?
Yep.
So to recap, first, you need to understand them. You need to really have empathy for them. Okay? Because you consider yourself to be in a, to, for lack of a better word, lucky position lah, bertuah. That you have the chance to learn this ilmu, this knowledge. And now you also have an opportunity to pass on the same knowledge to your family. Now, whether they accept it or not is beyond your control, but you have the opportunity to pass it on to them so that the cycle of bringing home boyfriends, girlfriends, having these relationships will stop with you maybe in your family. Yeah. It's possible, right? So you have to first start with a place of empathy dulu. It's tough, Sabrina. It's not going to be a easy journey. The easiest way, if you want to tackle this, adalah ikut je mak bapak. That's the easiest way for you to do it. But you know some things that mak bapak cakap tu maybe tak selari dengan Islam, so you can't go along with that. So you're taking the high road, and the high road is not easy. I just want you to be prepared lah.
Yeah.
Okay? Right? And secondly, at least get them to be on board about, you know, how men and women should interact. At least lah. Mm. At least. Mm. On the very bare basics. Yeah. Right? At least get them to understand the idea of self-respect and self-control in Islamic perspective. And from there, see where the conversation goes. Because I'm not like, you know, I don't see the future. I don't know where it's going to go. But at least that's where I would start. And then see where it goes. See what okay. they say, try to understand them further, and then it's like a dance. Like you can't plan every step, yeah. right? You can memorize the steps, but when the dance happens, you know, sometimes the steps have to change. So you have to know a few steps in the beginning, and then once the dance happens, you just have to follow the beat, but still make sure that your feet doesn't get stomped on. Get what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? All right. That's an excellent first question. I like it very much. What's next?
Okay, so if I were to project this, let's say if I don't get the buy-in from my parents, or maybe this question is for other people too, like what if they still want like a wali figure in their ta'aruf sessions, but it somehow cannot be their father because their father tak buy-in lah the idea.
Understood.
So, is there like an alternative for girls like in this situation?
First thing first, do you understand the concept of a wali?
Someone who like...
A wali is a man. Yeah. There's no woman wali. Wali is a man. And only women have wali. A man like me, we don't have wali. From the, you know, the concept that Islam has set forth, only women have wali. And wali for a woman is not one man. You have a line of men who are your wali. Your father is the first in line lah, right? But if he is not on board, then you have the other person in line. So you have to know in the line tu siapa dia. So you have to know that as a woman,
grandfather,
right?
And my brother.
Yeah. So if let's say your father is not on board, can you ask your grandfather? If your grandfather is not on board, can you ask your brother to come along? So you ask the men in your family. Hopefully one of them can be on board, your like uncle or whatnot can. And then if there's a green light there, no problem. But let's say you go down the list of wali and still no men in your family not get on board with the idea, then you can outsource it, right? It's not ideal, of course, right? But you can outsource it. You can outsource it to perhaps the woman in your family pula. Your mother, your makcik ke apa ke. Again, it's not ideal. What I'm saying is not ideal. This is we're now talking into the non-ideal category pula. Yeah. Tadi tu ideal. Ideal dia wali boleh get on board. That's the ideal part. But the non-ideal part, which is, you know, the reality for many women out there. And I'm not giving a fatwa, by the way. So don't take this as a fatwa from Ayman Azlan. No, you take fatwa from faqih, right? From mufti, from ustazah, not from me. But I'm just talking like in life, right? When things are not ideal, you kind of have to choose between the lesser of two evils, in a way, you know, because you don't have, because what are the options? Don't get married langsung because you tak ada wali nak tolong. Takkanlah kan, right? Yeah. So the non-ideal route will be to get somebody you trust outside of your family, your teacher, right? Preferably somebody who's married lah. If you have a teacher who can help, so his wife can be your chaperone, or maybe both of them can help you out during the ta'aruf session too. Both husband and wife ada kat situ. Husband can guide the man and the wife can guide you during the ta'aruf session, you see? So it can work. Last resort, if you can't get like experienced, wise adult whom you trust, not your family member, to be a part of the ta'aruf, then last resort, you get your friend who is also has to fulfill the criteria of being trustworthy. Boleh diharapkan, okay, ada kematangan, wise, right, mature, to be your chaperone. right? So that'll be the last on the list that I'm telling you. Okay. When I did mine, my ta'aruf, we were in two different continents. Okay, she's in UK, I was in Canada, and obviously wali tak ada lah. Memang tak ada wali lah kan. They're so far away. And then they're not available, right? So what we had was at the time our best friend je. But our best friend are very reliable. Diorang pun jenis yang they understood what we stand for. They understood the kind of ta'aruf session or courtship session or breaking the ice session that we want to do in order to get married. So I can trust my best friend in the ta'aruf session. Like, he's not going to spread whatever that we discussed in the ta'aruf session. That's very important. So ta'aruf session is private. And to safeguard the secrets and the sensitive information of your brothers and sisters is your amanah.
Yep.
So you can't break that trust. So I trust that my best friend, bila dia dengar our conversation, he's not going to tell anybody. He's trustworthy, right? Same goes with her best friend. So we had each of our best friend there during the ta'aruf session. And they can listen to everything. And it's very important that they become a part of that conversation, because if there's anything fishy ke apa ke, tiba-tiba, you know, syaitan datang, dah mula dah, eh, pakai apa tu? Cantik lah you hari ni. My friend akan siku I kat tepi. Ha? Understand? So it's very important to have that third person too. Okay? It's a protective mechanism lah. It's not like... Alamak, tak boleh nak free lah, tak boleh nak bebas bercakap lah. That's the idea. You don't want to be like freely talking to a lady who's not your wife yet. The idea is refrain. In ta'aruf, when you want to get to know each other, refrain, have some self-discipline. Bukan nak kata tak boleh nak keluar you punya personality tu. Like right now, talking with you, you can see my personality. This is who I am. But I am refraining myself from doing, let's say, inappropriate jokes with you. A joke that I can do with my wife, but not with you. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So that is something that I would give as an alternative to the ladies out there. Again, not a fatwa. Don't take fatwa from me, all right? Not a fatwa, not hukum. We're not talking religious stuff because I'm not an ahli in that sense. Yeah. I'm just speaking from the point of view of psychology, somebody who understands emotions, understand the risk. If like a man and a woman have no chaperone, the risk involved in that, and I just want to mitigate the risk. That's what I'm doing here. You get my point?
Yes.
Right. So far, how do you feel? So far, how do you feel talking about the family stuff and talking about the ta'aruf third person stuff? Is it clearer to you now, or is it like more confusing?
Clearer in a sense.
You can be honest. It's okay.
I think I need to put more effort to meet in the middle with my parents and see how this goes.
I get that. I understand. Yeah, it's tough, you know, when it comes to your family member. It's always tough. One of the things that I realize when, you know, you hear or read about the stories of prophets, one of the things that I saw was many of them, a lot of them, have family issues. If you notice, Prophet Muhammad with his uncle, Prophet Musa with his stepfather, Prophet Ibrahim with his actual father, Prophet Yusuf with his brothers, Prophet Yaqub with his son, Prophet Nuh with his wife. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, right? It goes prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet. There's family issues there. Right, so I think this is not something unique. Nak kata macam, aku seorang je ada family issue. I think one of the hikmah why prophets have family issues is to show us that this is one of the challenges in life you cannot avoid. There's no such thing as a perfect family. I have my issues. It's just that you don't know about it. That's the only difference. You don't know about it. Just because you don't see it, you don't hear about it, doesn't mean it's not there. Right. Of course, I'm not saying that we should publicize everything. No, you keep certain things private, especially if it's not wise to share with people. But understand that even the person who you see as somebody with the perfect family is not free from family issues. I consider that as almost a fact. So just want to let you know that you're not alone lah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Sabrina. What else do you want to talk about?
Building on to your point of refraining in a structure of the meeting, right? How can I go through the sessions without being too headstrong? Like, I understand that we are supposed to ask important questions, but sometimes these questions can make people uncomfortable, and there are some instances that I experienced that they just turn up, go. Like, they just feel uncomfortable and they don't want to go on.
Give me an example where you are headstrong. Give me an example.
Like,
to a point where the guy says, macam, tana. Give me an example, if you can.
If I were to say myself, I don't think I was asking, like, soalan A. I was, like, building onto our conversation, like, where he was working at, and I just, like, built on it and asked, like, oh, do you have, like, an industry that you're interested in? Like, just basic questions, young. Have
that's
a bit
it?
Of projection. Yeah. And then
that caused him to say macam, okay, tak nak dah. That's
yeah,
it?
He just ghosted me after that.
Because you asked the question about his career.
His career, his family background a bit.
I wonder, what does he expect though? In like the conversation, because okay, here's the context. I think we have to start with the context. Okay, that's why I'm a huge proponent of being clear about your intention from the get-go. This removes all the guessing game.
Yep.
So when you approach a man or a man approaches you, immediately from the get-go, day one ataupun day zero even, just bagi tahu yang the reason I want to know you better is for the purpose of marriage.
Right.
Okay. Now, this does not mean that I'm gonna marry you. No, no, no. It means that I am telling you, I'm being transparent with you about my intention. I have no other intention. I don't want to just have you as like a casual friend. No. I don't want to have you like a girlfriend figure. No. I don't want to play around with you. No. I don't want to just show you off to my friends. Hey, see, I got a woman by my side. No, I am doing this for the sole purpose. The only reason and the only reason is for me to consider you as my potential wife in the future if it goes well. Marriage, that's it. So once you have that context cleared out from the beginning and both agreed that it is for that reason alone, then questions about, you know, what's your future plan, who's gonna be like, how are you dealing with your finances, tell me more about your family, those questions are not now seen as alarming. Because if in our mind kita fikir kita buat ni sebab nak kahwin, those questions are important. I need to know about your family, of course, so that's why I ask the question. I need to know about how you deal with finances. Now I'm not gonna ask you to show me your bank account. I'm asking you, how do you deal with your finances? Tell me about your spending habits. Tell me about your debt, right? I know it's private information, right? Sometimes quite embarrassing juga. That's why I said in the beginning, tadi kan, ta'aruf is private. You don't get along, you don't go along talking to people about, hey, you know, yesterday I just ta'aruf with this one girl named Sabrina. We talk about this and that. You don't talk about that during the dinner table ke, sembang-sembang kopi ke. You don't talk about that. Whatever is in ta'aruf is between you and the third person in present, who is present, and it doesn't go out of that session at all. It's totally an issue of trust. You understand? Because we're talking about sensitive matters. And this has to be, kalau dia tak tahu, yelah kan, tak semua orang follow Aiman Azlan, tak semua orang ikut kelas saya. So kalau dia tahu, it's on you to explain to him first that before we go any further, this is the method that I'm going to use for our get-to-know session, right? I'm going to ask you questions related to your family. I'm going to ask you questions that are going to affect the potential marriage in the future. I'm going to ask questions to your best friend to get to know you better. And it's not weird.
Yeah.
We have done this so many times, but on in a different context. We do it in job interviews.
Yeah. I think that's right? My struggle. Like, people around me have said that, why are you interviewing this guy? You need to be softer and, like, what was the word that they used? But, like, adapt to him. Like, be softer and not, like, project your principles onto him. They believe that.
What does that mean?
They think I'm not being humble if I'm asking those questions.
Can we role play? Can you show me what you did? Can we role play? Just show me exactly what you did.
So I think this was like a wrong course in a way that I only met him, just the two of us. Because I didn't have any support, but we were introduced by our moms.
Okay.
I'm close to his sister because she was my senior at school, and right. the mom is my mom's senior, so that relationship. And then his mom asked my mom if I was still single, and then they just matchmaked us. And then on the first day, I just like asked him basic things because I know where he works. So we right. talked about work because our companies are sister companies anyway. So we had like a common ground to talk about. And then I just stringed on two questions like, because he's only like 6 months into his work. I asked him like, how do you enjoy your work? And then
can you belakon? Can you like act it out exactly how you talk to him?
Okay,
I want to see what do people mean when they say you are forcing your principle on people, you are headstrong.
Yeah,
I just want to see how it looks like.
Because the thing that I feel not fair was they were judging me when they were not there. They weren't there to see the conversation happening. And they just concluded that.
Was the conversation something like this?
Yeah.
I'm talking about your demeanor, your tone of yeah. voice, and your facial expression, and all the thing like this. Yes.
This is like exactly this. How I talk to a person when I meet them for the first time.
Like this is not soft. I consider this as soft. Soft meaning that you are portraying yourself as a lady. Right? But clearly you have principles.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things don't contradict each other. You can be a yeah. soft-spoken, polite lady, but still have firm belief in her principles. If it's no, it's a no.
Yep.
If a man does certain advances upon you that you're not feeling comfortable with, you can say, hey, no. And that's not considered, you kena adapt lah dengan dia. Chill lah sikit, nanti kan you tak boleh kahwin. No, you don't sell yourself to get married.
Yeah. I think the idea they have is like, you should befriend him before you get into those questions. Like, why are you rushing the important questions?
Why don't people ask that question during interviews? Why don't people question macam, kenapa interviewer ni nak interview kerja, terus tanya soalan-soalan yang heavy-heavy ni, kenapa tak berkawan dulu dengan calon tu sebelum ambil kerja? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You pergi you nak kerja dekat certain company, you have this important position that you want to fill. Right? It's an important position. Tapi waktu pergi interview tu, right, dia akan straight away tanya certain questions. Dia bukannya nak kata macam, cik daripada mana? Oh, Kelantan. Oh, saya pun Kelantan juga. Suka makan apa? Oh, ya ke? Oh my god, sama macam saya lah. Ada ke interview buat macam tu? Kalau ada, we call that what? Not professional.
Yeah.
right? Dia lari daripada the decorum of the situation. It's same, saya bukan nak kata like ta'aruf and job interview is exactly the same. They're not. But the principle behind them are the same. The principle is, I'm gonna get married with you. And there's a job that we both need to fill. The job is, title dia, husband, wife. Okay? We need to know, are we fit for the job? So ta'aruf is that, getting to know you so that can you fit the bill to become my husband? Can you fit the bill to become my wife? I'm not doing this so that I can be your friend. If I want to be your friend, we don't have this conversation. Tak payah pun. We don't need this ta'aruf because I just want to be your friend. But the niat awal-awal adalah not about friendship, it's about marriage. And because the niat awal-awal to marriage, we don't use the friendship as the buffer or the excuse to the marriage. Now, saya nak tambah juga, it's different kalau you berkawan dengan seorang, you know, tak ada plan apa-apa nak kahwin pun, just berkawan je, maybe tempat kerja ke apa ke, and without the planning and without the forethought ke apa ke, tiba-tiba you rasa jatuh hati dengan dia. Itu cerita lain. Right, it's something that you're not planning awal-awal. Lain tau. Yang ni you dah plan awal-awal. So you tak boleh, you cannot fake the friendship to make the marriage real. Right, you can have real friendship awal-awal, and you know, happenstance you get married. But it's a real friendship yang berlaku awal-awal. Like you dengan you punya colleague, you dengan you punya classmates. Like I married my classmate from high school. But in the beginning, I didn't macam, okay, aku nak kawan dengan dia sebab aku nak kahwin dengan dia. No, no, no. We're just friends dalam kelas yang sama. Just like with any other female classmate yang saya ada tu, saya kawan dengan semua tu. It's just friends. Right? But over time, I start to grow feelings for her and then that's when the marriage comes. But this is a situation where it grows organically without the planning. The planning comes later. But what we're doing now is planning first. So that's why intention datang awal-awal tu. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
So kalau you dah intend nak consider dia sebagai husband, it's tough untuk nak selitkan friendship in between tu. It's tough. Right? Dia akan jadi so confusing. Ini friendship ke ataupun dah jadi benda lain lah ni? Sebab kalau ini friendship, kenapa bila aku call lelaki lain dia jealous? Kenapa bila aku keluar dengan apa girlfriend aku, like you and your girlfriends kan, keluar like girls day out, dia rasa macam, eh kenapa tak ajak I sekali? I rasa you tinggalkan I lah. That doesn't sound like a normal friendship. That sounds like something exclusive. And exclusive, when we talk about a man and a woman, is only reserved, kalau we talk about prinsip lah, it's only reserved for husband and wife. That's exclusive. See? Nampak? Jelas?
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to understand more about your situation actually, but since we have like only like less than 1 hour to talk about it, I can only go like straight to the point lah. But obviously, it's just as with any story, the other background there. Go ahead.
Between me and my external, you know, I have all these people saying these things. So macam, I get a bit disturbed. Like, am I doing the right thing or kind of that situation?
I'm trying to understand them juga because having this conversation with you, I don't think you are like, you know, what do you call, what's the word? Headstrong is a good word. I mean, headstrong means you're determined, right? You're determined. But I don't think you're rigid. You're just having principles.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm trying to understand from their point of view, if you live your life without these principles, then having a principle will seem rigid.
Yes.
Paham that?
hard,
right?
Hard for them to accept.
You're used to be carefree, quote unquote carefree, and you're used to be, you know, unhinged and, you know, not restricted by anything, right? You're used to that free feeling. The moment somebody introduce even a tiny bit of restriction, you're gonna rasa macam, hey, this is too much. But when in fact that it's not too much, you're just going to the opposite end of the loose end. Dah jadi terlalu loose dah. That you don't have any structure in your life. Everything to just go with the flow, ikut nafsu sahaja. Because nafsu introduce, when you introduce restriction, nafsu akan retaliate. Because nafsu doesn't like restriction. Right? But what you're introducing, this is just having this conversation with you, because I know what strict looks like and sounds like. Even in this realm of conversation, I know when I have a conversation with a woman yang strict sangat, I know what that looks like. But it's not you. I don't feel like it's you. You're just somebody who has principles. You understand it. Contoh orang yang strict sangat ni macam ni. Contoh, eh. Okay. Saya ni kan, saya nak cari orang lelaki yang keluarga Said sahaja. Kenapa keluarga Said? Well, saya nak orang yang beragama. Orang beragama kena keluarga Said ke? Tak semestinya, tapi saya nak Said juga. Okay? Kalau you bukan Said, saya tak nak tengok muka you. Tak nak consider langsung. Okay, that's strict. Rigid sangat. Do you understand the difference now?
Yes.
But what you're trying to do is establish just basic boundaries je. Jom kita berkenalan untuk tujuan perkahwinan je. Tak payah nak foya-foya. That's basic boundaries. Not even touching the strict part lagi. We're just talking basic boundaries je dulu. Boleh tak kalau kita keluar jangan berdua-duaan? Hei, lebih-lebihlah pula Islamik je ni. That's basic boundaries. If basic boundaries pun dah disturbing, then the problem is not the basic boundaries. The problem is you being disturbed with the basic boundary. So you have to do some soul searching to understand that maybe you just flew too far off the loose end where everything is loose now. Like, I am the determiner of right or wrong. Everything that I feel is good. What I feel is bad. Then you become a worshipper of yourself. You worship yourself at that point. That's the absolute extreme yang kita nak avoid.
Yeah.
At the same time, dia ada juga extreme belah sini where dia rigid membatu sangat. Sampai kita kalau nak kreatif sikit je, tak boleh. Ni je cara dia. Tak juga macam tu. So I think you're struggling to find the middle ground, because the middle ground is not something that you're used to growing up.
Yeah.
And I have empathy for your family. I don't blame them, you know. Not everybody know about this. They probably don't have the opportunity to learn these things. But they're lucky to have you. You learn these things. So you can share it with them. They accept it or not, I don't know. But as long as there's an opportunity there, why not take it?
Sure.
Right?
I'll try to put in a little bit more effort.
No worries. Sometimes it's not about more effort. It's just different effort. Maybe it's not the amount. You probably give like 110% already. So it's not the amount. Probably need to change strategy. So be easy on yourself. I don't think that you are like malas and lazy with your family. I think you're doing your best. Probably need to change your strategies, actually, okay? All right, Sabrina, do you have anything else that you want to say or ask?
I think that I've covered a bit of my most concerned things. Yeah, I've covered everything.
Good to hear that. Well, thank you, Sabrina, for willing to be live with me, with people watching and watching the recording afterwards. I hope this conversation has helped you. And I believe that you directly or indirectly has also helped others juga yang ada masalah family macam ni. Because I can tell you for a fact, you're not alone. Because I've seen this happening elsewhere. I've read emails relating to this juga. So it's not something yang uncommon, unfortunate. Okay? All right. That's all. So thank you very much, Sabrina. And take care.
Thank you.
Siap lagi solat Jumaat pula.
Thank you for the insights.
No worries, my pleasure. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
All right, gang. That was Sabrina. MashaAllah. I mean, it's a good conversation. I really enjoyed it. And if you like to have this conversation with me, it's free of charge. Don't worry, I don't charge anything for this. And I want to announce right here and right now, because before I announced that if you want to have chat bersama Aiman Azlan, you have to join the supporter RM10 per month membership. And I'm feeling like, you know, how about I just open it up? So starting today, yes, you heard it first here. Starting today, I'm going to open my calendar for half an hour for anyone who follows me, whether you pay for any of my products or not, I don't care. If you feel like you want to have a 30-minute conversation with me about anything related to relationship, self-development, family, marriage, I feel thrilled and honored to have that conversation with you here live on my YouTube channel. So simply go to any of my social media accounts. I'll post the link for you to book a session with me. Okay? But if you feel like macam nak cari kat mana, simply go to the description below in the YouTube page. That's all. Thank you so much. Assalamualaikum. Peace out.